Starting tonight, the road to WrestleMania is officially in the fast lane, and we're here at AfterBuzz TV to talk about it.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
We are here. It is time. We're in the far left lane. We're in the fastest possible lane to WrestleMania. I'm your host, Steve Kaufman. Find me on Twitter, at Steve Kaufman. We're not supposed to do that anymore. Sorry, I get a second plug. George.
Wait, what do you mean? I didn't get the memo.
We just introduce ourselves now. Hi, I'm Steve Kaufman, but I am not alone. We are a full panel. Starting to my far left, George, what is your name?
I can't pull my Twitter? G-H-E-R-M-O-Z-A. George Hermosa. G-H-E-R-M-O-Z-A. Twitter, at Twitter.
Yes.
I win.
At the end, we plug our Twitters. That's a thing we do now.
Oh, at the end.
At AfterBuzz TV. That's the new format.
I didn't get that memo.
That I messed up.
Man, I need to read my email.
You got a Miz tattoo. That's awesome.
This way
you looking
Miz,
at me like that?
Miz, this way. Yeah. Miz, WWE.
That's one of those. I like it.
It's like Benjamin. Evan Mack here. America's sweetheart. You know me. I'll let you boy.
Annie Savard.
Yeah. So
maybe next time you should introduce all of us.
I know. I think that's what the format is lent for. That was fun, everyone. We worked our way through the new format, the new opening. We got through it. It happened.
Okay.
So did Fastlane. We had open. Well, first off, how are we all feeling? This is the last pay-per-view heading into WrestleMania. This is also likely the last single-branded pay-per-view until they kill the brands and then start them up again. Mm-hmm. How do we feel?
So many changes. It's crazy.
It's just John Cena all the time.
Listen, if you reference the GOAT, I need you to reference him with positive energy.
Apparently, people didn't like that we were like talking about that. And
they did.
but you know what? Who cares? We're gonna do it again.
My best friend Jordan, how about your boy? He was like, that was the best part of the show. Like, you and I like going after John Cena. He loved that, man. Listen, so
and people, I like John Cena.
I know you do. I know you do.
And I like Roman Reigns.
But as far as the fast lane thing goes, I get the same thing. I get these little butterflies in my stomach.
Yeah,
close to April, I just get like this. I get giddy, get goosebumps and stuff.
Yeah,
like that.
I think it's one of those where I hate saying the word predictable because that's not always a bad thing when it comes to pro wrestling. Mm-hmm. I think there was one specific match that was totally predictable, but it was okay. I mean, I like that now. It's like really, really now the road to WrestleMania. Now that we got some matches finalized and no more speculating, obviously a lot of people wasn't liking something that was happening the last few weeks, which we'll get to. But yeah.
I think that's where I am too, where it just feels final. I think what I was saying out in the hallway when someone asked me about it was some of these matches, and we'll get to them, felt to me like they weren't like the path of least resistance. Mm. Like we've known where you're going with some of these things for a while, but at the same time, like, hey, this doesn't seem actually that segues nicely into Shinsuke Nakamura and Rusev.
It's a great match.
Yeah. Which Nakamura, indie darling, everyone loves Nakamura. Royal Rumble winner, dominant force, everything about him is great. Rusev, with Aiden English, is over. Everyone likes to chant Rusev Day. Everyone is about, and there have been some arguments that Rusev isn't over. Rusev Day is over. I would argue Rusev himself is over.
Who says that?
You see what I'm saying?
Who says that?
He's the WWE Universe, y'all.
But no, I'm curious. Who said that? Like, where did you see that?
I've seen multiple tweets to that effect.
But who is saying that? Are they the same people that said, you know what, Daniel Bryan isn't over.
Yep.
Yes is over.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying...
No, but I'm saying, but
I'm
who are these people? And why are they getting mentioned?
Do you want me to pull up the Twitter? I want to know who's saying these things.
Like, it's like, wait, why are we taking your opinion into consideration?
Because everyone's opinion is valid, and their opinion...
Absolutely.
Their opinion stands for a certain level, especially the people who make the decisions who made this match. This is how they feel. They feel that Aiden English and Rusev aren't over themselves, but like their movement is over, which I agree isn't a great point. I also agree if you want us to not like Rusev, have him take a powder from Shinsuke Nakamura.
Hold on.
You know what? Me too.
My brain had like 55 things going on. Listen, I promise I can speak English. But listen, no. No, it's interesting, but English is not over. Like, because when he comes out like solo, the crowd's like,
where's Rusev?
Seriously. But Rusev's over, man.
But like with Aiden English, it's like, okay, yeah, he's pretty much like, when he comes out, you know, Rusev's coming out.
Right.
So he's like pretty much, say like Taylor Swift is a big, obviously she's a big star, it's her concert, then you have her pre-people before
like me. Like out. If I came out, they'd be like, oh,
I like Taylor Swift. You know but I know, I really liked his spiel on NXT. He was that was pre-Vaude Villains.
Yeah.
I liked them.
I love it in English.
Well, it's not his fault.
But he's coming out here, but every week he's comes out and pretty much, you know, it's the Rusev Day show.
Yeah.
And I get it. I'm not a big fan of what they're doing with him personally, but yeah, it's pretty much saying, where's Rusev Day? We want Rusev right now.
Right.
Interesting. So this is what I mean by the path of least resistance. The path of least resistance would be to put Rusev out there in front of Mike Kanellis.
Mm.
And let us just like it. And let us just like Rusev and hate Mike Kanellis.
Wow.
Like, or Curt Hawkins. Or, I like that. Like, somebody we're not predisposed to like, predisposed to hate. Wow. And then just make that flip. You don't have to actually change anything about Rusev's character. You never had to change anything about the New Day's characters. Like, they still do blind tags and foreign objects. And, like, they still do heel stuff. They like them.
They do.
We just like them because we like them.
Or you just do Aiden English versus Rusev.
I mean, we could. But they're the act. They're the act. What I'm saying is turn the act. Let us know it's okay to cheer for that act. That's the way for us to not hijack Raw matches with Rusev Day chants.
Wow.
Because we think we're being counterculture. The way to stop that is to be like, yeah, you like... Because this is eventually what they did with the New Day, which is like, oh, you like the New Day? Sarcastically?
Yeah.
Like, let's see this. Oh, yeah. you just like the New Day. Yeah. Oh, wait, they like the New Day. I think that would be a easier path of least resistance, especially if you're just going to throw them into the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal anyway.
Exactly.
That you just let Rusev be this thing that if you need him to come out there and, like, if you need him to come out there and have heat, he'll have heat. Yes. But it's so much easier for him to come out there and everybody just like him.
I tweeted it, and I'm going to say it here. I think Rusev should host WrestleMania.
That would be awesome.
Oh, I saw that, yeah.
Or Rusev and Aiden English.
No, just Rusev. Just Rusev. I mean, maybe Aiden can, like, sing him out in the beginning, but at the rest should be the Rusev show.
But do you think that the reason why they have Aiden with them is because they don't believe Rusev can do it on his own?
Absolutely not.
I think that is exactly why.
I don't think so. More so for Aiden, for something for Aiden to do.
Oh, you gotta see. Have you seen Rusev in the beginning? This
but that's the beginning, though. But that's the beginning.
That's a thing.
But that was 3 years ago.
But he's
4 years
always
ago.
Had somebody, though. Like, you know what I mean? I think Aiden was there, like... I think Aiden should get a little credit for putting
him
over.
I think Aiden needs Rusev more than Rusev needs Aiden.
That I agree with, though.
Although, let's also be fair, that wasn't a plan. That Correct. Was a throw together one night. Without question. It worked.
Without question.
Like, that was I would argue that was a house show pairing. That they're like, oh, there's something here. Let's throw that on TV and see how it goes.
Worked.
Oh, they're enacting it. They're a thing now. Rusev Day calendars and t-shirts and whatever. I try to approach things from a positive standpoint. They got where they needed to go.
Yeah.
By the end of that match, even the most ardent Rusev Day chanter, unless they were literally being counter-programming, unless they were literally just trying to be counter whatever the program is, which Columbus, Ohio is a pretty smart crowd, so people do that.
Yep.
But, like, if you follow the match storyline-wise, you like Shinsuke, you're not supposed to like Rusev.
Correct.
Rusev played that role properly. Shinsuke played that role properly.
It was a good match.
I would have preferred Shinsuke beat a heel and Rusev beat another heel. And, it would have gotten the same thing.
Agreed.
Although
it's kind of hard because these two guys are pretty much the great, like, are really talented and are great. It's like saying, who's the face of the company right now? Because right now, nobody is because you have Kevin Owens.
John Cena is the face of the company.
But
Steve,
yeah,
you
but
mentioned the GOAT
so
again. It's twice
people.
in this podcast.
I think they're waiting to maybe pull. I think they're just kind of holding back on. I don't know what to call ourselves, but like we want to see maybe Rusev face a heel because we want to say, hey, Rusev's a face, but they're not there yet. The same way we all want to see Roman Reigns as a heel, you know, just like something that they're not doing, you know, like for now, Rusev's still a heel. Mm-hmm. I think it was a good matchup. I think it was something for each one of them to do. Usually the Royal Rumble winner has, you know, something to do in that fast lane, you know. And I think it was good. I think it was a good pairing.
Also, there's been criticism of them not having Nakamura on TV for the last since Royal Rumble. I actually like that.
Me too.
Because there have been plenty of times where Undertaker wasn't on TV.
Bill Mystique.
But that's the Undertaker.
But I'm saying, like, in the 90s when Undertaker was hot as can be. Like, Undertaker wouldn't be on TV.
Nakamura's hot.
He would work the dark match.
It's true.
Like mid to late 90s when Undertaker was one of the hottest acts you had. He wouldn't be on TV some weeks where he would only have a pre-taped interview segment. And, like, he'd still be in the six-man tag at the end. So, like, everyone gets to – the paying people get to see him.
Right.
But if you need to see him when the stakes are at their highest, you need to, like, save it. And I like what they did with Nakamura here.
I agree.
My only argument is this felt like this felt like the path with the most resistance. Mm-hmm. That's how I feel.
It's like the fourth time you said that.
That's how I feel. Like, yeah. I think there's, and I think around this time, that's some of this, it's just like the, at least from my vantage point,
yeah.
It's easier to just, oh, they like Rusev, put him in a situation where they can just like Rusev.
So true.
And then do it once and see what happens. Mm-hmm. Instead, this feels like very much like, oh, they like Rusev? Let's see if they like Rusev as much as they like Nakamura, and it just feels like a challenge.
I think they do, too.
Feels like a bad challenge to your audience.
And this is one of those things where now I'm looking much, I guess maybe not the Raw after Mania, but SmackDown after Mania, because, you know, I think Rusev is going to be, like, the number one, the loudest pop.
Oh, the international crowd. Oh, man. Go bananas. That's gonna,
every year it's, like, someone I'm looking forward to. Like, last time they were in New Orleans, I was, like, I knew Barrett was going to get, like, the biggest pop, you know?
Yeah.
And then, I was there, man. That was loud. Mm. It was loud.
So, Nakamura went over Rusev. Not a surprise. No. I'm not going to, like, I'm only going to, by the way, the AfterBuzz TV Predictions Championship, still in effect. I'm only going to mention the numbers if they're interesting. These numbers weren't interesting.
Oh, okay.
Up next, we had the U.S. title. It was Randy Orton versus Bobby Roode. This was fun.
This match was good.
This was fun.
19 minutes, 19 minutes, 15 seconds.
Yeah. That hair, though.
There's...
looking crispy.
There's a lot of talk about this... There's a lot of talk about tonight being predictable. This was not predictable.
No, it wasn't.
Oh, there's no way people seen this coming. Heck no. No way. Come on. Orton capturing the... Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
But, like, damn, it's about goddamn time. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that word, but...
I think you just have to have enough spacing time in between of those two words.
Randy Orton is obviously a future Hall of Famer, and he was just amazing tonight. Been a fan of his since he walked into the WWE, but he kind of did something Cena hasn't done yet and gotten every single title that WWE pretty much offered throughout his career, because Cena hasn't won the IC title yet.
Listen, the GOAT has other things he's doing, man. Mm-hmm. He has other endeavors. He has other things. He has other responsibilities.
Randy Orton's a GOAT, too.
Listen, there can't be multiple GOATs.
Randy Orton's a paper GOAT.
There's a farm, and then there's one GOAT in the farm, and it's John Cena.
I'm one of the biggest Randy Orton fans. I think that guy is so good.
He's so
good. I wouldn't put him in my top 10.
Top 10! Where is he?
He's like at that cusp.
Like top 15?
Like 11 to 15.
All right, okay.
So I'm just going to point it out. Randy Orton, the man. Randy Orton, the man.
Maybe 11 to 20.
Some months he cares, some months he doesn't.
Well, yeah, seemingly he's
from
now,
my side. Yeah, like from now, my side.
Like, yeah, now he doesn't care because he's been.
Because I think, I think he's one of those guys where he knows he's not Cena, so it's like he knows that it's like Cena's always going to have something to do. I mean, let's be real. Like, there are some weeks where Orton isn't even on the. And I don't think he's got that Nakamura Undertaker kind of trip. They just have way too many people on the roster. Where it's like, oh, we forgot.
Or because, like, he's a veteran and he's been doing it for so long. They're like, all right, fine, whatever.
He's in a different place right now. You know, you want him to have good matches. And that's why I was surprised he won the title. You know what I mean? Either way, for whatever happens at Mania. But I think it's interesting to see a title change hands on a pay-per-view. Yeah. It's always interesting to see a title change hands.
I'm just curious, like, where they're going. Because it feels like there are so many scenarios for multiple champions to have triple threat matches.
Right.
Yeah. You already have the triple threat, assuming it's not going to add, they're not going to add more people. Triple threat on Raw for the IC belt. You know,
right.
It seemingly seems like they're going for Bobby Roode, Jinder Mahal, and Randy Orton for the U.S. belt. There seemingly feels like they're going to Usos, Bludgeons, and New Day for. It's like that's a lot of triple threat matches. Like I don't know. Like I feel like that's a little overkill.
Why not?
Interesting.
So Backlash, we already know this is going to be co-branded. Yeah, so that's the pay-per-view immediately after WrestleMania.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you could consolidate the tag team division into be one mega super competitive tag team division, and then you get a 6-team ladder match.
Ooh.
That's not a complete schmoz. Like, it actually means something.
That sounds awesome.
Like, it actually means something.
So, what they're doing now, because I was kind of reading it, but I was still confused. Anybody from any brand could go to pretty much any brand?
Hope not. No, it's just the pay-per-views that are...
Yeah, the pay-per-views... The pay-per-views are no longer exclusive, meaning that you'll Meaning that Backlash will have a Raw match, a SmackDown match, a Raw match, a SmackDown match, a Raw match, a SmackDown match.
But, just
Raw,
SmackDown, yeah.
But let's be honest, how long?
That's too much.
How many months are they going to do that?
That's like doing a Night of Championship.
Until,
why are they going to do that all the time?
But until they're like Raw Super Show.
Because the Raw, because the first single, pre 2003, or during 2003, the first Raw or brand exclusive thing was Bad Blood 2003, which was in June. The last one officially was No Way Out 2007, and first one was Backlash 07 after WrestleMania 23. It's like, and you can tell there was like seeds of like, even though it was Raw, SmackDown, and ECW, like it's like at some point, because you had, you know, CM Punk going back and forth between ECW and Raw. You had, you know, Lashley on Raw, and it's like, I don't know.
Well, because
I,
at some point they don't keep them separate. They never did.
Yeah, and like, I thought that they were really, really going to push forward to like just really having these exclusive brands.
Exactly. This time
and
last year,
I really hope that like
this
I
time
know.
Last year, it genuinely felt that
it
way.
It really did. Though.
Also, this time last year, it genuinely felt like Raw was the glitzy Hollywood show, and SmackDown was the indie darling.
And
show.
Even more so when SmackDown was like delivering like pay per view after pay per view, and Raw was like, you know, we got to keep up.
And
like,
then Raw got to destroy them in a draft, and then probably backstage wise, they probably also took a bunch of good writers. But then it was also the matter of like it's the same writing. It's not like there's separate writing staffs. They're, like maybe there's a separate head writer for each show, but it's the same production crew. It's the same.
Different writers on each one.
Not exclusively.
I thought it was
not probably. Exclusively, and even if it is, it's, they all report to Vince.
At the end of the day,
they all report to Vince, and if Vince is booking both shows, like how separate can everything be? And I don't know. It could work if it has meaning.
Yeah.
I just feel bad.
They ride the line. I feel bad for the four women we're about to talk about.
Yeah, because you wouldn't see this match on, you know, a dual brand pay-per-view.
Yeah, like a dual brand pay-per-view. A, this match doesn't happen. B, three of these four women don't get on the card. I'm talking, of course, about Becky Lynch and Naomi versus Natalya and Carmella. I mean, really, Naomi might become number one contender and face Charlotte Flair. That's the match. Or it's Becky Lynch, or it's Natalya, or Carmella
catches
in. Carmella
catches in maybe like SmackDown after Mania.
No question.
Ooh, let's talk about the match first. Now that it's official, let's talk about the match. Let's wait for the title picture to talk about the title picture. First up, this match was great. Some decent stakes.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's upsetting that they're probably not going to have much to do with them. Come WrestleMania,
it's kind of like this match was like kind of like there, you know what I mean? Like,
I mean, if we're talking about equality, there could be an Andrea the Giant Memorial Battle Royal,
yeah, or like or maybe like a Mae Young, yeah, he was,
yeah,
he was
so like a Luna Vachon Memorial Battle Royal. There had Mae Young Classic,
he had a
thank
great,
you.
He yeah, had a great,
Sean,
but that's a great
Luna Vachon or like a Sherry Battle Royal.
Yeah. Yeah. I was about to say, like, isn't Luna Vachon still with us? Like,
no,
I feel
she passed away.
Oh, then
yeah, that's why,
never mind,
that's why I said it.
You gotta watch Women's Pro Wrestling Weekly here on AfterBuzz.
Fair, but like that's probably where these women are gonna go, and oh, it's interesting.
Well, I liked Becky Lynch's outfit; it was cool.
Yeah.
But I had a problem with Carmella's, her legs looked tanner than her arms, and that bothered me.
But don't they wear, like, the stockings or whatever?
Yeah, but it just bothered me. It's like,
ruffled your feathers.
Yeah, it's like, girl, you're like two different colors. No.
I just had a thought about Carmella that I need to confirm.
Give it to me.
I'm checking it right now, but I'm
pretty
sure. Yes,
her and Big Cass broke up.
What? No, I'm aware of that. I'm pretty sure.
But overall, I think this match was pretty... It was fun to watch, and I enjoyed it.
It was fun. We're just not going to see it anymore.
Exactly.
Yeah, but I mean...
it's a good match, though.
I just wonder what they're going to do.
I hope they do something with Carmella. Like, every time... Like, she's somebody who's not on TV every week, but they just have way too many people on the roster.
That's what I was actually going to point out.
But that's the problem, though. She is Miss Money in the Bank. She should be on every week.
Well, no, I think they're just kind of making you forget about though, when she does cash in. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, there is Carmella. And then when she's a champion, then I think that she's going to be on every week.
So...
Of course.
What's up, Steve?
What is...
2018. This calendar year. How many times do you think Carmella has had a match on television? Including the one we just saw, including a mixed match challenge.
Like 2018 or 2017?
2018. Oh, 4 if you count Rumble.
Four.
One, two, three.
I don't know.
Four.
Rumble, Mixed Match Classic, last week against Natalya, and then today.
Five. She was in a 6-woman tag on SmackDown Live January 2nd. She was in 5 matches in, where? What month is this for?
March.
Third? 3 months. They really don't want us to remember that she has that briefcase.
Wow.
But then really, really,
I guess I'll wait till what? Well, might as well talk about it now. I mean, I guess not without going into that title picture. I mean, they never, now that they're doing this weird thing with the brands, like, who's to say she can't cash in on Raw?
Say she ever couldn't cash in on Raw?
Well, now that they're doing this thing with Asuka, it's like, I don't know. That thing upsets me, to be honest with you.
Okay, we'll wait till we get there.
But again, who's to say she can't cash in Raw now?
That'd be fun. So this tag match was great.
Yeah. This was fun.
The ladies, they bring it. They bring it every single pay-per-view, every single night.
This tag match was 8 minutes, 55 seconds. It was great.
Yeah.
The tag match that came after it, the Usos and the New Day, was 9 minutes of straight fire.
This was fun.
Fire.
It was.
Straight fire. Oh, like, this was just.
These boys.
It was a bomb.
But they're at this point now where they just tear they tear the doors down. These guys here, they're putting out instant classics every time they go against each other. They keep reinventing things. And that's the thing. They were stealing each other's moves and stuff like that. Right. It was awesome.
And like, that's something that I liked about these two guys, because they are good friends. And the communication you have to have in the ring, too. And I think when you're fighting, like, you're really good friends, you have the best matches.
And it's, and like, they have a lot of chemistry, and like, these guys together, they, you know, yep. I'm sure they, come on, they have chemistry together,
especially with their promos, going back and forth.
And it's
that promo. So like
here's the story I read from this match. Okay. Was we got 9 minutes of straight fire of five guys that absolutely want to be the best and are looking like the best in the world in the tag team division
without question.
Then the Bludgeon Brothers show up,
correct,
and ruin that for us
without question.
That's the okay. That's how I'm reading the story. You, other people are talking about, like, oh, the cluster. It's this. It's that. It's this. No. It's that. No. As far as I'm concerned, like, that was
the match.
Said it was a cluster.
The match was fire.
So I'm not gonna call people out in the chat right now.
I was talking to people in the chat. The match itself was great, and this was probably the most predictable outcome. It's not, again, did it make the match bad? You didn't think the Bludgeon Brothers were gonna come out after all the teasing that they didn't?
I didn't either. I thought after.
I thought the Bludgeon Brothers were gonna squash them,
especially with all these like things that happen every single week on SmackDown. Down, like, they give each other the eye and the look. Like,
I was thinking, like, maybe after the math,
if the Bludgeon Brothers came out, I think whoever would be left standing after a war would have had a stare down at the Bludgeon Brothers. Yeah. The Bludgeon Brothers, especially because hammers at the WrestleMania.
See, I thought this was going to be like a schmoz, because just for the fact that, like, New Day deserves to be on WrestleMania against who knows, you know, right. Usos, they definitely deserve to be in the same match together. Right, especially after those wars that they had, Hell in a Cell, SummerSlam, et cetera, et cetera. And then, like, you have the Bludgeon Brothers showing up every week, kind of teasing anything. It's, I don't know. I guess I'm in the minority, obviously. I just thought it was completely predictable. Like, I thought, I knew Bludgeons were going to come out at some point.
Speaking of predictability,
before the match is
over, two unpredicted things. Match card happened tonight. 16.5% thought it would be Randy Orton. Only 1.2% thought it would be a no contest. And they were 20-80. No, totally, they were 20% New Day, 80%.
Like, if we were doing predictions, I totally would have picked no contest.
Really? Yeah. You're the one. Yeah.
But it's interesting, because I think the voters, they're thinking like we're thinking, like, there's going to be another like barn burn. They're going to tear the doors down again. Like, another instant classic between the Usos and New Day. That's what I think. And that shows me people actually invested in these guys going against each other. Mm-hmm. Still, because they're not even voting no contest at all.
Like, yeah, like, they were like, oh no, there's gonna be a finish.
Yeah,
maybe the Bludgeon Brothers show up after, but they're gonna let these guys go.
Because my thing is, like, Usos and New Day are two clearly the best teams, you know, in all of wrestling. Yeah. It's like, we all know what the winner would have done, but what are you doing with the loser? Like, where do they go from there? You know, and that's why I was essentially like, oh, it's clearly gonna, they're setting it up for a triple threat at Mania. That makes sense now,
but we're not crazy for not.
But maybe they're trying to like make everybody wrestle, like, fight each other at once, because obviously last year WrestleMania was like a 5-hour show, so they might be trying to cut it down.
Not even a little. It's going to be a 7-hour show.
I just feel bad for who's ever going to be on the pre-show.
Chat room, my man JMC said, how about Usos, New Day, Bludgeon Brothers, and TLC? What do you think about that?
I'm about that.
Okay, sure.
Personally, I want them to build towards meaning. Yeah. And meaning would be to just... There are still separate brands, but the tag division will be exclusive to both brands.
Sick.
And that we're going to have the best three teams on... We're going to have the best three teams on Raw, which would be the Champs, so the Bar.
Right.
The Revival and the Club. And then on the other side, it's going to be these three teams.
That's pretty sick.
And then all of them get into a giant ladder match. They've been bordering for the last probably 20 months, WWE has, both on the main roster and down in NXT, of having a renaissance of tag team wrestling. And 9 minute barn burners like this are where you start.
You know what I was thinking about? And this is going to be a start by for the show. It's like, it's like everybody always says like tag team wrestling isn't that good. I mean, obviously people talk about their peak, you know, maybe in the early 2000s with Hardys and Christian, you know, Dudley Boys. Era. And even like the 80s where you had like Killer Bees. Great. I don't know why the Killer Bees were the first team I thought of. Hearts, the Bulldogs, Rockers, you know, the Rougeaus. It's like, I think today is probably the best time because like you look at even like NXT, like, and I'm probably going to get chastised for this. Like, I'm not a big fan of TM61. Like, not even that. I think they will totally fail on the main roster. Okay. But the fact that NXT is okay with the current gimmick, and the fact that NXT survives, like, they belong in NXT. And I was watching a match the other day. You look at a team like Doug Furness and Phil LaFon. In 1997, they were there, and they were like, oh, they were okay. But you put them in today's environment, man, they would be killing it on NXT.
I agree.
And the fact that you have all these teams, like you said, Sanity, AOP, TM61.
Yeah, those like Dash and Dawson tore the doors down.
Yeah, like, I like them. I like TM61 and NXT. I just think with their current gimmick, I think that they would just fail on the main roster. Yep. But even though you throw in, you know, not a big fan of Heavy Machinery too, but like they're good in that environment, you know? So yeah, I agree where this tag team renaissance is like the best, maybe even the best time to be in a tag team today.
I think we're building towards, if WWE fully supports it and gets behind it, we're fully at a place where tag team wrestling can headline a wrestling show.
Wow.
Like, we're at that place. In the indie world, we're already at that place. Yep. But I'm saying, like, because, like, I didn't even mention the Hardy Boys. Sore subject. Jeff Hardy. Yep. Jeff Hardy just happened. I've only read the headlines. I'm not gonna disseminate false information.
Yeah. Correct. But you just, the headline is what the headline is.
If you're
is
listening to this tomorrow, you've probably already heard the story. Yeah. I don't need to say anything more than Jeff Hardy just happened.
And even like there was rumors, and every summer they have like a tournament. There was a rumor that maybe this summer might be a tag team tournament. Who knows? Well, early, who knows?
Like,
who knows?
No, I agree with you that, like, similar to the Mae Young Classic, that they do just a giant tag team tournament.
Yeah. Versus the Dusty Rhodes. And you know, if that were to happen, then you know they're going to plug some good tag teams from there too.
Mm-hmm. So my man in the chat said, if the Broken Brothers is done right, that could be the hottest thing in WWE. Do you feel there's any?
No,
any,
I don't. Well, truth I to think that? It, no, there's truth to that. If done correctly, yes, can be the hottest thing there. They're never going to do it correctly. TNA didn't do it correctly. You would have to hand
if like
the reins.
Hardys. If the Hardys got pretty much the whole,
I think TNA did a pretty good job
thing,
with it, though.
And like, that's they said, hey, like, yeah, this is yours. Do whatever the hell you want with it. Go for it. I think they're.
What do you think? Steve, what would it take?
Yeah, like, how much better could TNA have done the Hardys?
I think after a month or two, they realized. After a month or two, they took the reins back. It reminds me a lot of not Ryback, Zack Ryder. Remember when Zack Ryder was over on the internet?
Yeah. Over.
And then for like a moment, they let him just do that on TV. Oh,
and then they took it from
and
him.
then they went, hold on, this is our TV.
Broke my heart, man.
Do it this way. Like, I think that's what Matt Hardy runs into all the time, that he finds a way to truly connect with it, with his audience, and do just really fun and weird stuff.
I disagree with the TNA thing, though. They gave him a 2-hour show, for goodness sakes.
I'm not saying they fumbled the ball at it, but I think by the end, he became the guy with the laugh, and they tried to put him in the box. Wow. They tried to put him in the
wrestling
box.
I think they're doing that now, if anything.
No, I think WWE did that from jump, but they're WWE. Like, they never actually gave him the freedom.
But if
to
anything,
Hardy.
I don't want to agree or disagree with you until I see whatever they just filmed with the Ultimate Deletion.
I agree. It can still be great. Like, I still have a great time.
Yeah.
Like, the bell rings and I get disappointed.
And every time, though,
and
come
we're
on.
Not it was a raw
and
show.
And so, guys, though, everybody watching out there, finger out and then delete.
Thank you.
Finger out, then delete, because it looks like you're doing something else.
Guys,
like you're doing something else. Come on, guys.
I'm going to be at WrestleMania, and the last thing I want to be is in a GIF of a bunch of people doing that salute wrong.
Yeah.
A bunch of people in
you
a
never
stadium.
Noticed that? Oh, no, the thing, I listen. You see, I'm being real quiet. Black man being real quiet about that salute, because I know exactly what you're saying. Y'all going to be, put that finger out.
Even if it's angled slightly up, just put the finger out. Trust me, it makes the biggest difference in the world.
It's going to look
biggest difference in the world. Finger out.
Because somebody's sitting in the grave somewhere in hell like, it's coming back.
times
they're
changing.
All you need is like somebody with a gift of people doing that who doesn't know wrestling at all.
That's
like,
so
that's
true.
Oh, wow.
Or better yet, just a YouTube link of a bunch of people at the Mercedes-Benz.
Yeah.
No,
man,
like,
last year's Mania, it looked just like that, though. Everyone in unison.
Oh, no. I'm going to move on from this tangent we found ourselves in to find ourselves talking about Charlotte Flair.
Oh, I have.
Defending her women's championship against Ruby Riott. Other people were present, but mainly Ruby Riott. I've said it before. I'll say it again. Ruby Riott is Beyonce. And
is what?
The Riott Squad is Destiny's Child.
What?
The Riott Squad is Destiny's Child, and Ruby Riott is Beyonce.
Oh, my Lord.
Love these two. Love Sarah and Liv to death. They'll do great as a tag team down in NXT, and then they'll come back up.
But they ain't no solo act. You're like, don't do it, ladies. Stay in the group.
They'll come back up as something different. Ruby's great.
Is she?
This match was great.
Oh, okay.
And this is
Charlotte is great.
Not impressed at all. Not impressed.
We got a hot take about Ruby Riott?
Give me a hot take.
Yeah.
Give me one.
I didn't like this match at all. I didn't. I thought it was a little botched here and there. I was bored. And I felt like majority of the time, Charlotte was the one who was carrying Ruby.
Oh, that's a given, though. You know, that's
and it's
happened.
Like, and then when the other two people came in, sorry, can't think right now.
No worries.
It was like, why do
Naomi
you need...
Naomi and Becky Lynch for the save.
Yeah, but like, it's like, why do you need to bring them in? I want to see a singles women's match. I'm tired of these two showing up every week.
I understand.
I'm tired.
I'm over it. It's over. I want to see how good Ruby Riott can do without these
by
two
herself.
Hooligans.
Mm.
Yeah,
I don't think you should look forward to WrestleMania then, because you and I both know with Charlotte Flair out of the picture, it's gonna be Naomi, Becky Lynch, a third face, probably Natalya.
Yeah.
Probably Natalya, and then they're just gonna go up against the Riott Squad, and that's gonna be the
gonna
be the match.
Fine, but it's like I mentioned probably before, these women are not ready to be on the roster.
I understand what you're saying, but the roster's so thick with ladies now. Like they're trying to give them something to do, especially at Mania. Like they have to
like
put them in some kind of
match. If we could rewind backwards, they should have brought Nikki Cross and Billy Kay. And
Payne Royce,
yeah.
Wow.
If they could go back.
Payne Royce is gorgeous.
Listen, full disclosure, she fine as hell.
I know.
Star Drew in the chat asked what percent Ruby Riott got in our poll. 2.4%.
Exactly. My point is that she's,
half of that, 1.2%, thought it would be a contest.
But here's the thing. I respect these women and what they do. That's great. But at the end of the day, Liv Morgan's not really good at a wrestler. Go back to NXT. I seen Sarah Logan wrestle at an NXT live taping, and that wasn't great. Ruby Riott, I liked her character and everything. She's great, but I just want to see her do more.
Have mercy.
This was just, I feel like I was watching a botched independent.
We need like a
that's how mad
like
I
a
am
graphic the graphic that says like Anissa's hot take.
Can I just point out this is like
I love the engineering the book.
I just shade. Wanna, someone's like shade. Like,
I just
no,
want to point out that we're a panel of three men and one woman, and the woman is the one being critical.
Steve,
of this
I'm
match.
Glad you pointed that out. See, the brothers here quiet, Steve quiet, George quiet. The woman's like, listen, garbage, trash.
I thought she was trying to say, dude, I do not buy girls with tattoos. I don't get it. I don't. I know it just doesn't
bro,
make sense to me,
bro. Ruby Riott got the business.
I.
But it's like
you're
saying the same old thing every week.
Seeing
the three women coming out. It's like, no offense. It's like seeing.
Like when Ruby came out by herself, I was like, "Oh, good. We're
going to
see if she can really go." Because if anything, I have said numerous times, I think Alexa Bliss is the number one female in WWE right now, and obviously
for
on
a couple
and,
reasons.
And
I agree.
And there are a lot of people that says, "Boo, George, you don't know what you're talking about. Charlotte's number one." And again, I'm not unvaluing your opinion, but every time I'm watching these kind of shows, I'm like, "All right, cool. This is the part where this is where I get proven wrong.
Who you want to see?
This is where Charlotte's going to prove me wrong and say, you know what? I'm number one."
Yeah.
And it didn't really happen today. You know, I think Alexa's performance at maybe just because the match was different at Chamber was a lot more impressive than Charlotte's performance in Ruby.
When you see Ruby go through the ropes, how slow she went through it and was, you could tell in her face like, oh crap, should I have done that? While she was going through it, and Charlotte literally carried her.
To George's point, I'm just going to point out that watch Alexa Bliss at the Elimination Chamber and moving forward on the Raw women's side, and then watch Mandy Rose. It's not that Mandy Rose isn't bad. It's not that Mandy Rose is bad, but they protect her. They put her in positions where she'll only look strong.
Correct.
Similarly, that's how Charlotte Flair's been her whole career. Not that she isn't bad, not that she isn't the queen, not that she isn't amazing. But they consistently put her in a position because she's Charlotte Flair. That character carries a different weight than Alexa Bliss. Alexa Bliss is scrappy. Charlotte Flair is classy.
And what's interesting about what you're saying is...
I like that.
Yo, for real. Like, so, like, my man, JMC, he's talking about, like, people that... Like, the women that can't talk on the microphone. Like, and why I think he's right about Bliss. Because Bliss is fire when she cuts promos. She's fire, man. Yeah. When she's in the ring. That's why I think he's right about what he's saying. No matter what people might think, that's who I want to see, though. Well, that's who I want to watch. Bliss.
Well, Alexa Bliss's career from NXT all the way up is where creativity thrives.
Right.
Like actual true you at a microphone and get it like Rocky style creativity. I'm not sure I'll get another meal.
Why don't you think like the other ones can go though? Like Sasha's not that strong on the mic.
She's not good of wrestler either.
Oh, damn. Listen,
I'm not even gonna agree or disagree. I think that's awesome.
Where can people hear you talk about women's wrestling on a weekly basis?
Seriously. You could watch it here on AfterBuzz every single Wednesday at 5 p.m.
Hot takes
women's
daily.
Weekly.
I think when it comes to Charlotte Flair, and I'm hoping I don't offend anybody on the panel, I think people lie to themselves. I think people don't want to admit that Charlotte isn't the best. Right, because I feel like it's like saying AJ Styles has a bad match. Like obviously it doesn't happen, but like it's just, it but really it's like don't. But even if it does happen, like people don't want to admit that. Like I remember 2015 SummerSlam, there was a match between Kevin Owens and Cesaro. On paper, that should have been the best match of the night. Mm. Probably wasn't even the fourth best match of the night. But you know what you hear everybody say, oh, that was the best match of the night, because they don't want to lie to themselves and say that. Well, you know, maybe that match wasn't that good. Mm. Maybe Cesaro and Owens didn't really have the best chemistry in the ring, you know? Mm. People like, because of their background. And I think that's where, you know, Charlotte comes in, where it's like, she was amazing in NXT, and she's done a lot really, really well on Raw and even SmackDown, but I don't know, I just feel like people lie to themselves just because they don't want to admit the truth.
Say the truth.
We've had this debate on the show before, so I'm not going to beat a dead horse, but I do think I'm saying it's a matter of character.
Right.
Alexa's character is conducive to what you're saying about Alexa Bliss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Charlotte's character is not conducive to being that scrappy, to being that lucid on the mic, Then I think I'm saying it's apples and oranges is what I'm saying, but do you want to have fun? Learn and grow in all areas of your life. For those who do, we've got a podcast for you. Conversations with Maria Menounos, Podcast Edition, is hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder, Maria Menounos, and drops every Friday on iTunes. Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews, along with secrets and tips to how to be better in all aspects of life, from health and wellness to career and relationships, finances, and more. Let our Maria be your big sister you never had. Go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free. Be sure to rate, comment, and subscribe. Let Maria know that AfterBuzz TV is how you got there. Conversations with Maria Menounos, Podcast Edition. Check it out. Charlotte Flair.
Maria had Charlotte Flair.
I was going to say, because I know we're a wrestling panel, and a lot of people are saying, oh, I'm not going to listen, but she's got a lot of wrestling stuff on
there. She's into the wrestling.
She's going to be there at Mania, and she's going to be on our women's wrestling panel in the future.
Well, dang it.
Wow.
Asuka, Charlotte Flair, WrestleMania. It took WWE a long time, but they finally mastered.
But do we know?
You bring somebody out, they point to the sign, they leave.
Period.
Rhonda. That's all you needed to do.
That's it.
Maybe.
I wouldn't have had a hot take and a bunch of comments here on the Royal Rumble video. If you had just done what Asuka did tonight is all I wanted from you, Rhonda.
God, I love that. Point to the sign.
I think that she's just doing it to tease us, and then tomorrow night she's going to go in front of Alexa.
This is the match.
I mean, it is predictable. It's been online for her. I'm probably in the minority, but I don't want to see this match.
Why?
I know it's going to be great. I just was really looking forward to Asuka versus Alexa Bliss. If anything, I think from a storyline standpoint, I think it makes no sense for her to go to SmackDown because she's beaten Alexa Bliss. But now she's, you know, it feels like she's running away. Why are you running away from Alexa Bliss?
Do you want to hear it? This is the thing. Monday morning of WrestleMania, I will tweet this part of this show.
Okay.
Asuka, Charlotte Flair, WrestleMania, the Queen versus the Empress.
Mm-hmm.
Everything, Women's Championship, the Royal Rumble, Women's Wrestling, it's the streak, everything is on the line. They are going to have a barn burner, a classic. It's going to go more than 20 minutes. They're going to be exhausted. And Asuka is going to win. Maintain her streak.
Yeah, I mean,
we're all going to love it. Carmella is going to come out and cash in, take it from her, ruin her title, her streak, and everything, and Carmella will be the most hated person in pro wrestling from that moment on.
I hope you're right about everything.
That is exactly where they're going.
I'm gonna hug you next time I see you if that happens.
That's
right on this panel. But I'm gonna hug him.
But like, I'm literally saying, like, security walks her to her car. Heat.
Oh, I love it.
Like, but you build a streak like this, so it this dastardly heel.
Classic.
So I guarantee you, she's either gonna be in the battle royal or not on the card at all. When you start hearing this talk about where Carmella is, that's where Carmella is. She's cashing in on Asuka to be like top five, top three most hated people ever in pro wrestling. And just to point out, like, top three people in pro wrestling, if you go into the world, you're talking about murderers. Like, I'm narrowing the list down to wrestlers.
It's so true.
Because if you narrow it out to the world, it's like murderers and dictators.
Even
in
independent wrestling, she's going to be the most hated
She will be the most hated person in wrestling.
Without question.
Asuka is beloved.
No, seriously.
Charlotte, like,
the Empress of Tomorrow?
Like, Asuka is so beloved, especially to a WrestleMania crowd. Like, she's going to have a Roman Reigns-like moment that following Tuesday after WrestleMania where everyone just chants at her. And she don't curve. And WWE, if this was not on your radar, it is now. Do it.
I'll let your boy Steve Kaufman, man. I'll let your boy.
Do it. All right. That's all I got to say about the women's stuff.
Like, I know it's going to be a fantastic match. I mean, from a match standpoint, I think it's going to be, probably one of the best women's matches of all time. I just think it makes no sense. Like, why are you going to SmackDown?
Yeah.
You got a sure thing on Raw.
No,
I think it's because she's beaten everybody
on
Raw.
Yeah, but she's beaten all.
She's beaten Alexa Bliss twice.
But not for the championship.
But who cares? She doesn't. Do you think Asuka cares about championships?
Yes.
Do you think Asuka knows the word champion? Have you ever heard Asuka say the word championship?
She was a longest reigning championship at women's champion at NXT.
I don't think. I'm just to leave it here. I think this makes the most sense for Asuka. Asuka is the best. She wants to prove that she's the best. She wants to beat the other best woman
in
wrestling.
I think what it is is just because I'm not a fan of intermingling the brands. So I think that is more.
No, but she's the Royal Rumble winner, and she probably would have picked Charlotte had Ronda Rousey not interrupted her. And if you would like to see me rant about how that was stupid, head on over to the Royal Rumble video. We don't have time here.
Main event.
It was a six-pack challenge for the WWE Championship. It was Baron Corbin, Dolph Ziggler, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, John Cena, AJ Styles. The only important thing I'm going to point out about these numbers is everyone had 0% prediction except for John Cena and AJ Styles. 95.3% AJ Styles, 4.7% John Cena. Why put six people in a match when we're only predicting two?
Yeah, but you got to understand, like, they're not giving John Cena he's not going to break the record at Fastlane.
Mm-hmm. No, but...
Ever.
You're missing my point. Why have a six-man match if all six men aren't, in the audience's mind, have equal footing to actually win?
100% true.
It's funny. Like, I think this one, and maybe this is reading the tweets or not, I think a lot of people had John Cena winning.
You're crazy.
Because of his promo. Like, I'll be listening to other podcasts and be like, oh, I'd be surprised if, John Cena doesn't win. Just for the simple promo that he did, creating a scenario with AJ Styles, like, whoa, you're going to challenge for the rematch of Mania. It's like, a lot of people thought that was going to... I was like, I hope not.
No disrespect to Ohio. Y'all don't deserve that. I'm just telling you right now, you want to talk about hot take. Ohio, y'all deserve a 17-time title.
But
are you crazy?
Can somebody please explain to me, though?
Johnny got Randy Orton.
Y'all deserve that.
Somebody explain to me, though, Dolph Ziggler, his entrance.
I
was confused.
I can't explain.
I don't know if somebody in the back messed it up or...
No, that's how it is. But I'm saying, like, I don't get it. Like, from, like, and then he comes out, and in the middle of it, like, then he plays music.
So it's kind of like he doesn't want to, like, he's not here to show off anymore. You know what I mean? It's like
they don't have your entrance show. Say, I'm here to show the world. I'm here to show the world.
Touché.
It's in line with the story he had been telling for the last four or 5 months that he's tired of being our puppet,
overlooked.
He's tired of being overlooked by management, and he's also tired of not caring that he's overlooked by management because we like him.
Yeah.
No, I get that. I just don't get that music. I think the
music actually conveys that I'm something different. I'm not what you're expecting.
Yeah.
That, like, if you just play, because I think he was hitting a problem for a long time when they tried to turn him heel in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
That they would play his music and people would just react to the music.
Yep.
And, like, to a certain extent, like, he, like the hashtag heel hoodie thing. Like, years ago, he started hashtag heel. Like, I'm hashtag heel.
Heel Ziggler, yeah.
And then everybody was all about it. Everybody was all about it, and it kind of killed his cred. Like, if you're a heel, you need to be the Miz.
Yep.
where you come out and like you.
He's a heel.
And if they're cheering you, you need. It's your job to make them stop.
Like, stop.
You'll literally stop. Them, but, yeah. And that's how I feel. Like, I don't know. Visually, he comes off as different. Yeah. I don't think throwing him into a 6-man title match is doing him any favors.
No.
To try to make him different.
No.
I mean, especially throwing him into a 6-man title match with, speaking of goats, like AJ Styles and John Cena.
You just said, you just referenced the goat, John Cena. Thank you, Stephen.
I'm just saying, like, no, but I'm saying, like literally 2-4, like, if you were to say the top 10 active wrestlers on the WWE roster, I would argue 4 of them are in this match.
Baron Corbin?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Baron Corbin was of the 4 I mentioned.
This he's match being was facetious. All he's being over facetious. The place. Just saying.
This match was fun.
It was all over the place. Everybody was everywhere. You could kind of now predict who's going to be facing who at WrestleMania.
I don't know. Like, what are they doing with Shane? I'm curious.
Well,
like,
that's what annoyed me.
I guarantee it's going to be a triple threat.
That's another triple threat now.
Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens versus Shane McMahon or a handicap Shane okay. McMahon versus
WWE. I know you're listening because of the. I know you're listening because of the Oscar comment. So we're already here. So if you're not going to have Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens,
I hope they don't do
by that itself. Just by itself. Let them fight forever. Hashtag fight forever in the upper left.
Seriously.
Let it happen. You already kind of veered left with the Shane business tonight. So here's what I'm proposing. Daniel Bryan comes back. I know you're crazy. You've been building this for 5 months. I don't know if you're aware.
Don't tease me.
Daniel Bryan comes back. It's Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon on the heel side of a face Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens. Or let
Daniel
us choose.
Daniel Bryan as a heel?
Or on Shane McMahon's side, Shane McMahon, you know Shane McMahon is going to have a WrestleMania match.
Of course.
I've been highly critical of this Daniel Bryan, Shane McMahon business if they're never going to let Daniel Bryan wrestle. Correct. I think Daniel Bryan can wrestle in a limited capacity and get carried by Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, and Shane McMahon.
I think Daniel Bryan should just go back to the independents and just...
He would love to. They're paying him a lot to stay where he is.
Daniel Bryan, he's looking around like, okay, hold on.
I hope he's saving his money.
I was kind of hoping they would maybe tease like a Ziggler Shane. I feel like that give Ziggler something to do, especially Corbin after whatever they're doing.
I can't even say that.
Or Ziggler and bring his brother on.
That's never gonna happen.
You never know.
That's never gonna happen. He didn't even have the last name of Ziggler on NXT. but I don't know. I really wish it was Usos against Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. That was like my dream match for WrestleMania.
It'd be great.
Interesting.
And Owens, Sammy, winning the championship. That's like the indie guy in me. Like, oh man, that'd be so cool if they won Ring of Honor Tag Team Champions. Yeah. Now they're winning the WrestleMania Tag Team Champions, even though Hardy did that already.
I don't know. With Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, I want them to be building towards a tag match with Daniel Bryan. And like, I'm hearing a lot where it's just going to be 2-on-1. 2-on-1 with Shane, and I'm like, well, that's
gross.
Or like, that's they could do that, and then Daniel Bryan magically comes out of nowhere, and
but then I guess that makes more sense that Daniel, if they're truly keeping Daniel Bryan at limited capacity, it's booked as a 2-on-1 match where Daniel Bryan just gets involved, so he doesn't even have to work a whole match.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I don't like that.
They need to like really build his
why would
one
Shane
match come
back? Why would Shane, who 2 months ago was literally ready to fire Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, book himself in a 2-on-1 handicap match against them? Logic, guys. I don't get it.
Unless it's a triple threat. I mean, they didn't really tease Owens and Zayn.
But then what are they fighting for?
I know!
Like another triple threat.
Another triple threat. But, okay. Again, I don't know. It's just one of those things where, like, tune into SmackDown to find out exactly what they're going to do.
Speaking of stakes, and speaking of logic.
I do love me a good steak.
And speaking of logic or the lack thereof, John Cena could literally tweet the morning of WrestleMania, hey, open challenge. Open challenge, come at me.
Come at me, bro.
That would be his road to WrestleMania. That would be a WrestleMania moment.
That sounds like something only a goat could do, Stephen.
he could literally turn up at NXT Takeover night before.
Without question.
Point to Eric Young and then point to the WrestleMania sign. Or like, say, let's go.
Or be like, EC3, what's up?
Like, that's all. So all this talk for months about how John Cena doesn't have a clear path to WrestleMania.
The worst.
I'm like, come on.
The worst.
Oh, he has to win the Royal Rumble. Yeah, to face the world champion. He wants to face Undertaker. Go down to Texas and ask him. He wants a WrestleMania moment.
He's going to end up being on Raw tomorrow anyway.
Look at the NXT roster and pick a guy.
Yeah.
And be like, you.
Although,
you,
another dream match.
Mania.
I'd love for him and Ziggler to have a program. There's so much history there.
Why not?
Is it?
They didn't say so? They're Eskimo brothers.
If it was happening, oh man, I'm not touching that. That's like way back.
Why?
I'm not saying, like,
it's so crazy.
If they were doing that, if that was the plan for Mania, they would have happened.
That would be the greatest. Like,
that would have happened like two seasons ago.
Well, no, they would have indicated it. They would have indicated in this match. Show of hands, who here thinks it's Cena Undertaker at Mania?
They can't. They can't do what he did. And him not face Undertaker.
Yeah.
I think we're all going to... I think two of the four of us are going to be disappointed.
Who's he going to face? Mysterio, who's hurt? Is he even going to wrestle in New Japan?
I think they're in talks.
That's another match that I don't even care. It's another match I don't even care about. Mysterio versus Liger.
When they come here.
Against Liger. But he's hurt. Yeah. He got hurt.
Well...
John Cena, Adam Cole. John Cena, Aleister Black.
Why Adam Cole? Why Black?
I'm running down the line. He's running down the people.
I would see Cena versus
John Cena, Buddy Murphy.
That makes no sense.
John Cena versus Danny Burch. Yeah, John Cena, Christy Sinkoff. John Cena, Drew McIntyre's hurt. John Cena, Eric Young. I said that. John Cena, Cassius Ohno. Yeah. He could pick anyone on the NXT roster.
That's true. But it's not going to happen.
EC3 would be interesting, though.
EC3 would be the most interesting.
It'd be interesting.
I mean, I don't know. But that's how I feel about John Cena.
So who do you think John Cena faces at WrestleMania?
Not The Undertaker. I don't think The Undertaker's coming back.
Samoa Joe's still injured.
Yeah.
Oh, that would have been good. But I'm asking, like, my question isn't who isn't he going to face? Who do you think he's going to face?
But the question is, who can't he face? And the answer is
nobody. Like, he could be anybody.
Anybody. Literally, he could have a raffle. He could have a legit shoot lottery the morning of WrestleMania and just be like, I am legit facing whoever I pull out of this bin.
That'd be so dope, though.
Or like, he could do an open challenge.
And it's Kurt Hawkins. And it's like, and he'll have a classic with Kurt Hawkins. Like, I don't know. I don't.
So, who does he face?
Anybody.
Cien Almas. Andrade Almas. I don't like anyone. I'm just like
you just think it's not going to be Undertaker.
I'm just thinking it's not going to be Undertaker.
Why do you not want the Undertaker?
Well, you can't not.
Because
I guess
the Undertaker's gone.
We
need to cope. We as wrestling fans need to cope.
Honestly,
we've been through it.
He showed up at Raw 25.
I'm not going to lie. I don't really want to see him face Undertaker. Like you said, Undertaker's gone. He's
Match
done.
Is late to
but
too
you
many
can't
years
just say what he said and it not happen. You can't tease people like that and then for it to not happen.
If Undertaker didn't show up tonight.
That's what I'm saying.
If the lights didn't.
That has nothing to do with it.
If a druid didn't sit front row.
That has nothing to do with it. Why does him not show up tonight? Have nothing to do with it. He might show up on Raw or SmackDown.
Popcorn.
He's
so ridiculous.
That would be a gift for effort. A druid sitting. Just a druid sitting in the front row.
Teasing a Mania match. Oh my god!
I don't think tonight has nothing to do with it. I think tonight we're just more focusing on AJ versus Nakamura. I mean, tomorrow night. I mean, if he doesn't show up by Tuesday, then I think maybe they're not going to wrestle. But it's usually the day after the last pay per view before Mania is when everything really happens.
Right.
Shane McMahon came back.
No.
I think that was the time where like 2/21/11, where Undertaker came back to face like Triple H. You know, it's like it's usually the day after or 2 days after in this case. The Mania or the
Ziggler cashed in on Alberto.
Well, you're talking
I'm sick.
He could face Alberto because there's in talks of Alberto probably.
He's still
on
the contract, I think.
Turning to the chat a little. Marv Season in the chat says Pete Dunne would kill Cena. You're right. You're not wrong.
You're not wrong about that.
Marv Cena also saying Cena versus Shane. I mean, would like that. We've been building Shane versus somebody else for a pretty long time. That seems out of the blue.
I don't want to see Cena versus Alex, right?
John Cena, Star Drew, John Cena calls an open challenge and it goes black and the Undertaker comes out, I believe.
That's not bad.
If you're going to do Cena Undertaker, you should advertise it.
Yep. They are going to advertise it tomorrow.
I know.
No, Alberto.
War Hero 99 in the chat, Cena Tanahashi.
Let's do Cena Okada. That's going to be awesome.
We dreaming. Let's dream. Hideo's there. Like,
Cena versus Bobby Lashley, man. Wow.
Didn't they wrestle 2007?
Yeah, I saw that movie.
At Great American Bash.
Yeah.
I seen that movie.
That was a good match.
It was a good match.
It was actually a really good match.
We've been there, done that.
So let's talk about AJ Styles, who won the match. We talked about Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn. We kind of have a feeling where they're going. Dolph Ziggler, Baron Corbin, they seem to have been lost in the shuffle.
Limbo right now.
Purgatory. Well, they seem to be...
Well, I mean, he kind of like threw them in the glass.
The Andre the Giant Battle Royal. That's where they're going.
Yep.
That's where John Cena threw them.
Yep.
Into the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
Like, true.
It's true.
Damn true.
It's unfortunate what happens when you, like, there's not a great track record of people who win that battle royal.
No.
One of these days it'll one of these days it'll have value. I argued this time last year that Finn Balor should have come back to win it.
No question.
That would have been a way to give it value, even if he didn't win. The uncrowned world champion returns to be Andre the Giant
battle royal. So disappointed.
Winner. That would have been good. What else? Well, like, they haven't been doing much with him since. Let's talk about AJ Styles, Shinsuke Nakamura. 5 stars.
It's going to tear the doors down.
Five stars.
You know it is. It's going to tear the
doors
down.
It's going to blow the roof off the place. There is, in fact, a roof on that place.
And it will blow it off, literally. It's going to be nuts in there. That place knows that place is going to be lit. That Nakamura.
It's going to be like the Hogan versus Rock. And
it's...
Rock
gonna
be versus Austin.
I'm versus begging, HBK. Begging, hoping, praying that is this main event, the true main event.
We already know about the main event.
It's not going to be John Cena.
No, not the GOAT. No. See, he's on your mind. Look at you. You're thinking about him. That's who I'm thinking about.
I mean,
that's who's going to be the main event.
But that does
without question.
That could be the second part.
But the Roman Reigns Brock Lesnar match is. The Roman Reigns-Brock Lesnar match to me is going to be similar to the Roman Reigns-Goldberg match last year, which wouldn't have been a satisfying main event.
So you think there's a chance it could be Nakamura?
But you're
it'll
speaking,
be whatever John Cena's doing.
Because you're speaking with what we want.
I'm speaking with just pacing a show.
No, but you know Roman's like, their guy.
He is.
But I hope they've learned their lesson.
He's still their guy. I mean, again,
I was there in Dallas where people left. Where people left because it was Roman Reigns Triple H.
They already got their money. But like, I think AJ Nakamura deserves the main event spot. I mean, AJ has been the MVP since he pretty much got through the door at Royal Rumble. Nakamura, I mean, I think he's still got a ways to go, but he's still one of their top guys. I mean, I think this deserves it. But I mean, again,
I don't think they've presented Nakamura well.
I agree.
Pre Royal Rumble, this feels like the collision course it should be.
Yeah, but
should feel like. I don't know. This should feel bigger than it is.
Yeah.
Like, it's big to us, but, like, we also watched Wrestle Kingdom that year where they fought.
Yeah. Like, not everybody has that mentality, which is why they might put Roman versus Brock as the main event.
But to your point, though, I was in Dallas. People headed to the exit. Legitimately.
In Roman Reigns' defense, was also a very long day.
Absolutely. It was long. It was hot. That stadium is a nightmare.
Yep. Yeah. Very true.
Shout out to Camping World. It's trash. Come at me, bro.
Oh, no. Never mind. Reigns H was at
yeah,
Dallas.
Yeah, that, oh, yeah. That
at Cowboys Stadium.
Oh, Cowboys Stadium. That was a long day.
That stadium was also trash. Just like that team.
That's a huge trash. The team is trash. That whole Tron and the whole screen was messing up the whole day. And people were headed to the exits.
So.
I don't know. I think it's going to be exciting. I know that these two can wrestle each other, fight forever. # fight forever.
They can't fight forever.
I mean, maybe they're trying to one-up their match that they did at Wrestle Kingdom.
I hope so. I'd like to think the competitor in them wants
to.
Because a lot of people haven't really seen that match.
No.
Like, I mean, I think maybe it's safe to say that, you know, people here, maybe a lot of people listening in the chat or watching it on YouTube or listening on iTunes, probably have seen that match. But
or if you haven't watched it before, you watch this.
But even so, I think there's a whole new audience that maybe started watching wrestling in the last year and a half. Because that match happened in early 2016.
Right.
Well, we're in 2018 now. Mm-hmm. Each person, I like to think, maybe have gotten better. AJ's been doing things that are like, wow.
Oh, God. AJ Styles is like...
He just keeps getting better, and you know?
Well, he is the GOAT, so...
Hold on. Wait, what was that? I think it's definitely time to wrap this show up because she's tired, guys. We know the GOAT is John Cena.
No.
Well.
Maybe if I was like 10, 13 years old, I'd agree with you, but no.
Oh, God.
So I think we just about covered everything.
Yeah.
We did.
Real quick, it's a preliminary. It's a
New Japan hate.
Wow, all caps too.
Good God.
Real quick, the AfterBuzz TV Predictions Championship. This was the last time to get some points and possibly get a prize up until WrestleMania.
Ooh.
It's preliminary. It's down to a tiebreaker.
Wow.
But I can say with a decent amount of certainty that AJ0314
again
is your champion.
Man. It's like he works for the WWE.
Seriously.
Again.
He's not even in the chat.
He had 11 points out of the possible 15.
Pretty impressive.
It was a three-way tie. The tiebreaker was, how long will the tag team match for the SmackDown Championships go? He said 13:50. His opponent said 1459, 1535. That match went 9 minutes. If we went by true Price is Right rules, yep, there'd be three champions. Indeed. I don't want to do that. The closest to nine is 1350. That's how we got there. Wow. There will be a tweet, ABTV at PPV, at ABTV PPV champ on Twitter. Now we get into the Twitter. George, where can the people find you on Twitter?
Oh, now I can plug my Twitter?
Yeah.
You can find me at GHERMOZA. Hopefully I can get to, let's keep it simple, the road to 560 followers.
Okay.
Thank you so much for filling in for us, Evan.
Thank you. It was a pleasure as always. Y'all can find me on Twitter at Evan MacLish. Sweetheart.
Oh, okay. I'm the social media correspondent for X-Pac 12360, also the host for Women's Pro Wrestling Weekly. We're going to have some great guests in the future. We're trying to get Tessa Blanchard, Delilah Doom. Great Taya. She's going to be our future guest soon. Follow me on social media at Anissa Barr.
And as always, I'm Steve Kopp. You can find me on Twitter at Steve Kopp, and that is KAUFMANN. I do a lot of stuff here at After Buzz TV. I tweet about it regularly. I also run YouTube channels for a bunch of wrestlers you may have heard of. I'll tweet about it when it's official, but that's a thing I do.
Okay.
For George Ramosa, Evan T. Mack, Anissa, we out.
Finger out.
Lay off Ruby Riott, girl.
She,
TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.